Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to this morning's meeting of the Mesa City Council study session for Thursday, February 2nd. Groundhog Day. Who saw their shadow this morning? Nobody. It's too dark. What does that mean anyway? If he sees his shadow, there's six more weeks of... I turned to our planning guy to find out what... I don't know why Mr. Wesley is like a Punxsutawney Phil expert.
It's a Northeast.
He says, what are you looking at me for?
It's a Maine issue.
Oh, okay. All right. We'd like to excuse the Vice Mayor, Councilmember Richens, and Councilmember Higgins, who are all out of town today, and they will not be calling in. So the first item on the agenda is to review the agenda for next Monday's regular council meeting. So... I'm ready. Page 2, items 3A through 3C. Items 3D through 4D. Could I ask a question about the refuse trucks? I guess they're not called garbage trucks anymore, are they? Solid waste trucks.
Morning, Mayor and Council.
Hey, just a question as to these are all regular fuel or diesel, right?
All but one. One of the automated side loaders is CNG.
Are we looking toward moving more toward the gas things? Because I know that I notice in the private sector, Waste Management, Republic, those ones are moving heavy duty and some other cities. What are our ideas, and with this one that you're getting, what are the plans for that, and as far as looking at transitioning into more of a gas, natural gas type of a fleet?
Mayor and council members, we've been looking at CNG as Waste Management's progressing with their CNG in the city of Chandler, and Phoenix is also doing a test with CNG right now. This is our test to be able to do a side-by-side test with diesel and CNG. We're buying one truck of each at the same time. Our biggest concern has been the ability to get the fuel. We can get the fuel, fleet can work on the trucks. We're going to run our own test and find out if this is going to be viable for us in the future. We think it's going to work. The side loader is the toughest one to convert to CNG because of the workload that they have. As we get the side loaders converted, we'll be able to convert probably to the front load and the roll-offs. So eventually we should be able to go to CNG. There's a upcharge for the CNG conversion, about $58,000. We think we're going to get a payback in just over 2.5 years. The price per gallon for CNG right now is $1.50 a gallon. We're paying $3.48 a gallon for diesel. So this is going to be our opportunity to test it in Mesa to see if it works. It's working for Waste Management, it's working in the private sector, and it's working over in Phoenix. They're adding other trucks. This is going to be our test in Mesa to move forward. And the only complaint that I've heard from Waste Management in Phoenix is that the trucks are a little slower. And I asked if they had to add additional vehicles. Neither one's added additional vehicles or additional routes to cover it. And I've never heard a complaint in a neighborhood that a garbage truck is going too slow.
You said something that's interesting, and just so I know the logistics, you said the ability to get fuel. Wouldn't we get our fuel from our own gas company, or is there a facility that, as far as compressing it or whatever, that we would have to do that makes us have to purchase from an outside vendor? How does that work?
Good morning, Mayor and Council.
Right now, we purchase the fuel from the city. It goes into our compressed natural gas fueling facilities. Unfortunately, both of those are quite old. If we were ever going to expand the CNG program, we would also have to put dollars into the CNG infrastructure. And of course, that's part of the cost of the pilot program, is taking a look at what it would truly cost us to operate the equipment. If you look at it from side by side, just looking at the fuel itself, well, there's a considerable difference in fuel. But if you're looking at the total ownership cost, well, it could be considerable, considering that you've also got to maintain the vehicles. And some of you probably remember that at one time, we actually did have the largest compressed natural gas fleet in the state. Unfortunately, there were reliability issues, and there were maintenance costs that were very high compared to the normally powered conventionally vehicles. So that's something that we have to...
That was with the police car fleet, right?
Correct.
Now, what's changed? It would seem like that was, boy, that's some, almost like a, well, gee, it was in the last century, I guess we could say.
It was about 5 years ago.
Close enough.
the way things move.
Yeah. What's changed technology-wise? I'm assuming that this is a technology that is constantly evolving. What, if anything,
not necessarily a technology. Okay. It's the actual nature of the fuel itself.
Okay.
There's less BTU yield in therm of natural gas than there is in diesel fuel or gasoline. So as far as the range is considered, there's nothing that's going to increase the range of the vehicle. It's the nature of the fuel itself.
Right.
Is it cleaner? Yes, it is cleaner. But at the same time, in the 2011 emissions, with the latest changes done to the diesel engines now in 2011 emissions is outperforming the CNG.
Now, what about reliability? Is that
that's a problem?
What are we finding as far as other entities get more and more into this? Are we working through the reliability and the maintenance issues, or is that something that's
well? That's one of the reasons that we're doing a pilot. Is to be absolutely sure if we're going to move forward. I mean, it's going to be a considerable investment, not just in the capital cost of each vehicle, but also in the refueling facilities that we would have to put in place or partner with someone else. The nature of the gas itself, when you're comparing fuel to fuel, there's no comparison. It's definitely cheaper. But if you're looking at the total lifetime cost, which is what we would be looking at in a pilot, that doesn't pencil out for us yet.
Have they moved, just a question, I have no knowledge of this, so school buses,
yes.
are they moving? I know the transit buses run on natural gas. Are they moving that way in school buses too? Or
school buses are, and transit buses are also operating on biodiesel.
Okay. Councilmember Pender.
Thank you. So I thought they were some of our buses were fueling at East Mesa Service Center, and I thought they were CNG, but is that not true?
You're talking about the transit buses?
Yeah.
No, transit buses fuel at the Greenfield Transit Facility exclusively.
Yeah, that was probably from way back then. So.
Yeah, at one time they did,
yeah.
Up until 2003.
Oh, okay.
They did.
Because the reason I thought of that is when you said partner, it all of a sudden I looked at the fleet that the school district runs with their buses and had no idea whether there'd been any, whether they had ever thought of transition or if they've ever talked to us or whatever, but whether they have or not.
And some of those buses are gasoline engine
and
they're not diesel engines.
Right.
The diesel engine is a lot more expensive than the gasoline engine as far as to repair it, and it's a little bit more complicated as far as to maintain it.
So we
feel by doing a two-year pilot program, at the end of 2 years, we're going to know the total cost. We're going to run these vehicles. They'll be running side by side with a vehicle that's the same age and the same upfit, and we'll be able to determine at that point after 2 years what the total overall life cycle cost is between the two. Unfortunately, right now, a lot of the solid waste fleets across the country, the equipment's new. They haven't been in service a long time.
Okay. So there's not a lot of body of knowledge in the industry.
There's not. When we look at it, right off the top, it always looks much better because we're comparing the fuel costs. There's no doubt the fuel's cheaper. And it also is a domestic source, we believe. But it's still a petroleum product.
Okay.
Mayor, in the private sector, they've run the CNG vehicles in California for a number of years. The problem is our climate's not the same as California. So we truly need to do a test here to see, make sure it's going to work for us.
I guess it's the reason, and I know Councilmember Richens, who's not here, but he and I were talking about this a little bit, is I don't think that gas and diesel are going to go down in price anytime in the near future. And we do have, when you talk about sources, we do have sort of a major source since we own the gas company. And long term, I know that on a single vehicle, that may not make a difference, but long term, it certainly seems like there's an opportunity there if we're the source to at least control those costs. But I applaud you for taking a hard look at it. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, getting back to page four, items 4E through 4H. Councilmember Glover.
I have a quick question on 4F. I'm not sure who that would be, if it'd be Ed or Diane. Could you explain where the 50 new time terminals are going to be placed throughout the city? I was walking down a hallway and I saw where it said this will be a new chrono system, and so I was out of curiosity where the other ones are going to be placed.
Good morning, Mayor and Councilmember. We're actually going through that detailed planning right now. We're starting the individual department by department meetings, so we are down to exactly where what the best locations. You're starting to see some of the posters because we're doing some of that as the education of what's coming and that type of thing, so we can put that together. But we will take it detailed building by building as to where those locations would be, but that's not set firm right now.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Anything else on that page? Items 4I through 4L. 4M through 4P, Councilmember Finter.
Just for later on 4M, I had some questions, and it's those that I can just ask later today, so look forward to visiting. Thanks.
Okay. That's about the well inspection. What is that, too deep of a subject for this morning? I had to throw my well joke in there. I haven't used it since sixth grade. It hasn't gotten any better, has it? Okay. 5A through 7B, Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Oh. Thank you, Mayor. On 7B, I have a couple of questions for either for Linda or the...
And I have a thing I have to do on 7B also, so go ahead.
To the attorney. This is, this recommendation here is to make the change to reduce the signature requirements to a 1,000 cap in terms of signatures. And this change is a significant reduction in what has been required in the past. 2000, there were 1,365 signatures, 2004, 2022, 2008, 1631, up and down depending on the nature of the race, the prior mayoral race before this year, because of the vigorous election last time, it was there were 2,428. My question is, one, have any other Arizona cities who are eligible under this statute, have they made the change yet? And second, would there be, if we choose to move forward with the 1,000, and I understand your reasoning, because of moving it to November, there could be a horrendous number of signatures from mayoral candidate to get, would we have some ability to ensure some geographic diversity of signatures just to get on the ballot? For example, requiring a mayoral candidate to gather at least 150 signatures in each council district to get on the ballot. That stays within the 1,000 signature threshold that the new state law requires. So those are my questions are, have other cities moved to do this yet? And second, is there an opportunity for us to explore an option if we want to adopt the 1,000 to ensure some geographic diversity in the gathering of signatures?
Councilmember Kavanaugh, Mayor. The city of Scottsdale has adopted a similar ordinance, and they've made the minimum signature requirement 1,000.
Thank you.
So that has gone into place. To your second question, I'm going to ask for some help from our city attorney.
Mayor and Council, our charter requires that that our election process be consistent with state law. So we rely on state law for the kind of the nuts and bolts of our election process, including the petition requirements. So. I don't believe we've ever gone and added to what state law requires, which is what I believe, Councilmember Kavanaugh, you're asking to do now. Not necessarily be contrary to state law, but supplement state law. We've not done that in the past, and I can certainly look at it, but I'm not sure we can add or supplement state law, but I'll take a look at that and be ready to answer by Monday.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you. And. I guess since as of last Thursday, I have announced my candidacy that probably be good to skip this one.
I haven't thought of that, Mayor. So would you have a conflict? This is typically,
I mean, all we're doing is we're not creating something new. We're asking to conform with state law. But I mean, I don't care one way or another.
And typically, this is a policy that is citywide. So if it is a citywide policy, you would not have a conflict. But if you believe because of the appearance that you should declare a conflict, you can certainly do that.
Okay. Well, I mean, it goes both. You could argue both sides. I mean, one of them is, I would love to keep them higher because that keeps, you know, I would think I have an easier time of collecting signatures than somebody else does. The other idea is that one of the reasons to lower the signatures is to open the ability for more people to participate in the election. I mean, collecting signatures is not easy. It's hard. And it's probably harder than most other things in the campaign. So I just want to make sure it doesn't appear that I'm pushing one way, because I could argue both sides of the issue pretty easily.
So if you would feel more comfortable declaring,
let me think about that. I just don't want to give the appearance. Councilman Fender, you had a comment?
No,
okay. Anything else on 7B? So we'll let's talk about it, because we may pull that off consent for Monday. Let me talk to you more about that. Okay. And once again, though, this is an option which the legislature put before cities.
Correct,
Mayor. And as you stated, the primary reason was we're accomplishing the goal of getting more and more people to vote. And since it's a presidential, since our mayoral election, which is the only citywide office holder we have, corresponds with the presidential election, as opposed to before when it was a March-May, we expect the amount of voters to go way up, which means the amount of signatures would go far beyond even the 2,400. I think I had to collect 1,600 or 1,700 when I ran. So it's gone up, and it would even probably, I think as you said, could even like double. Which creates a huge burden for anybody who wants to run for the office, unless they've got a lot of money or got a lot of time.
And that was the justification.
That was justification.
City of Scottsdale doing it as well.
Okay.
And
right.
Mayor, if I might add, this change in the law applies to those positions that are voted citywide. So it's an at-large position,
right.
Which is why it only applies to the mayoral position here.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're in a like Tempe or even a Scottsdale who does not have districts, who only has at-large, it would apply to all the councils.
Yeah.
So it's not just to the mayor, it's to any position that's an at-large election.
Right.
Okay. Councilman Fenter.
And just one observation for people that have been through that process, you realize usually you double those amount of petition signatures just to make sure. So you're still talking thousands of signatures, and it could be just more. So I think it's a great way to look at things. So.
No, I will tell you, just anecdotally, like I said, it's a lot of work to get. If you had, I think last time it was 1,600, 1,700, which meant I think we got twice that number. If you're talking 5,000, 6,000, getting 10,000 to 12,000 is a major, major undertaking, which, you know, can be done, but I think it certainly precludes a lot of people from pursuing a citywide office in a city the size of Mesa. So I can see why the legislature looked at that. Okay, Councilman Fender, you had something else on that page?
It's on 6A. I just had a couple quick questions, and maybe if someone from PD could answer that. And. Or excuse me, 7A, 7A.
Seven,
I apologize.
7A.
I was looking up so close. And as they're coming up, this is amending the city code Title VI for alarm systems with the intent of decreasing the number of false alarms. And I think there's some positive things happening here, but I just wanted to make sure with regard to the first time offender under our current system and then what that would mean under the new approach, if you had just a moment.
Mayor and council members, for the first false alarm, it is a $50 fine, but anyone can attend our false alarm awareness class and receive a $50 waiver, so it would be waivable.
Under the current system. So,
and the new one.
And the new one. And that's what I was hoping that would be important. You know, when you look at new businesses coming in, new residents, I'd hate to have their first experience with the city as a $50 fine. If, you know, we're trying to educate folks and reduce our costs, so I appreciate you keeping that portion of it in there, and I know we really try hard to reach out to folks to let them know, but even then, the great part is, under our current system, we make it a criminal complaint, and I'm dealing with a constituent now under those circumstances where they could have a criminal conviction because they were not permitted. It's much more severe, much more harsh. But even now, under the system you're proposing, then that they have the opportunity to attend a class and waive that $50 fee. And I think that's very reasonable when you're reaching out. So I appreciate the work being done. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. One thing to put in that seminar, which is an experience I had, got a call at 2:30 in the morning for my office building. The alarm was going off. Showed up at 2:30 in the morning. Two of our wonderful police officers were there checking the building. There was no break-in, no windows broken, no doors broken. We were wondering what is going on because the alarm's still going. So I opened the door with my electronic fob. Officers went in, guns drawn, expecting something horrible, because who knows, you know, maybe someone went in through the attic, which happens sometimes. Walked around, could not find a thing. Invited me into the building. I'm walking around. What in the world could have set this off? One of the offices, one of the gals had a birthday and had those Mylar balloons.
Yep.
And the air conditioning went on and blew the Mylar balloon and started waving and set off the motion detector.
That is a common cause of false alarms.
Oh, good. So take your balloons home. That's the safety message. And I would hate, I'd hate to have someone be a criminal because their Mylar balloons got loose.
Absolutely. Correct.
So thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
And 8A. Okay. Acknowledge receipt of minutes of various boards and committees. Motion from Councilmember Kavanaugh. Second from Councilmember Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
I'd just like to report this past Saturday I helped volunteered with the historic home tour in our city, and it's a project of the Mesa Historical Museum, and the focus this year was on the Sherwood neighborhood, which is a wonderful neighborhood. It was a great turnout, a lot of volunteers. I had a wonderful privilege to volunteer at the home of Mrs. Alona Cooley, former First Lady of Mesa, and she is truly a treasure for the community, and her home is as well. So I just wanted to express my appreciation to her for opening her home up and for all the volunteers who helped. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? I'd just like to thank all those, Phoenix. I was looking at Phoenix Mesa Gateway Board meeting. The Mesa Chamber of Commerce for helping with the mayor's breakfast last week. I had a good time. I don't know if anyone else did. And especially my staff, both Kathy McDonald, my chief of staff, who stressed out for 2 months at least, and also the staff at Channel 11, which did just, they always do. I know people do not realize the amount of quality work our Channel 11 staff, which has been reduced to, the bare bones, to a pittance of what they were before, and still continues to generate more original programming and quality programming on our Channel 11 than any other city I've been to, with staffs who are 2, 3, 4 times as large, and they did a great job producing that. So it could be not only broadcast live on Channel 11, but also stream live video. Since we did sell out, and since there are people who just simply can't or shouldn't have to pay to see their mayor give what is the equivalent of a State of the City, so I appreciate them. And then the next thing was Mesa Arts Foundation fundraiser on Saturday night. And if you missed that, you missed seeing Dennis Kavanaugh in a biker's outfit. And that was worth the price of admission right there. And we had a great turnout, raised a lot of money for children's arts education, which is a great one, part of the great mission of our arts center and our arts foundation. Very successful, and we appreciate all those who were involved in that and the Arts Foundation. So those were the two big things. Yeah, do you have any comments to defend yourself?
I'm speechless.
You're speechless. Photos are online, by the way. Okay. Anything else? Yeah, Councilmember Fender.
If I could just take a minute to note the passing of Carla Wagner. What a wonderful human being. And just reflecting back as a member of District 2 and, you know, she was a residence there, but You know, working with her, she had 25 years of experience here in the city. I worked in the city attorney's office and then in the city manager's office, and we had the opportunity to work so closely with her. And I think back, I can't even look at an iPad now without thinking of how wonderful a person. And, you know, this was quite the transition to go through, to go from mounds of paper to an iPad and paperless system, which was no easy feat for us. And then I think about the redistricting that she helped to coordinate and head up, and what a wonderful effort that was, and a success. So truly a loss of a wonderful city employee that contributed so much, excuse me, and good friend, and you know, really gonna miss her. So thanks.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Okay. Are there any requests to speak, Ms. Crocker, from the public? Okay, have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Glover. Second from.
Okay, you forgot.
Did I forget, Mr. Pombier? I'm sorry. I should have, even the aura of your presence should have alerted me to the fact that you are sitting in today for Mr. Brady, who is obviously not with us. So please go ahead.
Mayor, the Regional Unity Walk and Diversity Festival will be held this Saturday, February 4th. The walk and the festival are free, and you do not need to register. Walkers from Mesa will meet at Tempe Center for the Arts parking lot at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, contact Ruth Giese with the City of Mesa.
And this is a multi-city event.
It is a multi-city event.
There's 6 or 7 cities participating.
And so we're hoping it's a very big event. On Monday, February 6th at 7:30, there will be a cultural and community development committee meeting. And later that day at 3:30, there will be a Sustainability and Transportation Committee meeting at 3:30. The next study session and council meeting will also be held Monday, February 6th, a very busy day, beginning at 5 p.m. And that is the look forward.
The look forward.
The look forward.
Thank you, Mr. Pombier.
Thank you, Mayor.
Follow the script well. We appreciate
it. I had speaking points. They told me what to say and not to ad-lib, so I tried.
That's the first time you've presented the forward-looking calendar, is it not?
It is.
Since coming to your new position.
That's exactly correct.
Were you tutored in any of these by either Mr. Brady or the other expert, Ms. Carrie Kent, who also is not here this morning?
I was told not to vary from the script.
Oh, and now I've taken you off script, have I not?
This isn't helping. It might be the last time they sent me over here.
One learns through experience. Okay. Now, are there any requests to speak, Ms. Crocker?
Mayor, there are not.
Okay. Councilmember Glover still has a motion to adjourn. Councilmember Kavanaugh, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.